We want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We hope that this encourages you and challenges you in every area of your life. In this episode, our Justin Campus takes over our podcast as Pastor Sion Alford and Jerry Van Wyk give us practical ways that we can get connected and remind us that there is a warrior living in all of us. Let's listen in.
Okay, hey, we're live. We are live on Facebook doing this gathering. We're excited about this because we get to talk some man things today. I am Pastor Sion from Gateway Justin Campus. We're really delighted to be able to spend some time with you guys here today, hopefully answer some of your questions as well as just share with you what God's doing through the men's ministry at Gateway Justin. I've got Jerry Van Wyk with me. He is the commander in chief of what we do, all things men's ministry at our campus. So welcome, Jerry. How you doing?
Hey, great, Pastor Sion. Thank you for the welcome. Doing great. Very honored to be here and excited to just talk about men's ministry and the Justin campus. Hey, before we get started, I think I've seen or heard somewhere that you are a fisherman. Wondering if you just let us know what's happening on the fishing front.
Hey, can I just say that, first of all, yes, I love to fish. I grew up bass fishing. I grew up in Northwest Florida, which at the time was kind of the capital of bass fishing in the world. At the time, this is back in the 80s. And by the time I was 14 years old, I was tournament bass fishing. And wow. I was 14 years old. My dad actually bought me an old used aluminum bass boat before I even had a driver's license. My mom and dad were hauling me all over Northwest Florida, fishing in tournaments and just loved it. That as a result of it was one reason I ended up going into pharmacy school. Was one of my heroes, mentors at a young age was also a pharmacist, and he was a well-known tournament bass fisherman. So I hung out at his drugstore all during the week and listened to fishing stories and would go fishing with him on the weekends. And so I thought, hey, I've got it. Best way to be a bass fisherman is be a drug dealer. And so a legal one. So that's one reason I went to pharmacy school was to come out and be a professional redneck. You know, I had aspirations, but God had other plans. And so music ministry and eventually pastoring was a part of God's plan for me. And so back in, January or so this year, we had a couple of our kids moved out of the house, going into their careers, graduating from college. And all of a sudden we realized, wow, we need a boat. And so, and you guys, you know, it's God when your wife agrees to let you buy a fishing boat. And so God moved in our house in an amazing way. And I have the most wonderful, wonderful wife who actually enjoys going fishing with me and getting out on the back of that boat. So I bought one right before the pandemic, and an old used bass boat. And I hadn't had a bass boat in years, had to sell it back 10 or 15 years ago when all the kids started coming along. Point being, it was really a God thing because, man, once the COVID struck and quarantine hit, everybody went fishing. And you cannot find a boat right now on a parking lot anywhere for sale. So I got it just in time. And so this weekend, I had the opportunity to go fishing up at Lake Nakona. And I caught, that big bass right there. She weighed in. There it is.
Sweet.
Weighed in a little bit under 9 pounds. So it was 8.9 pounds. So just under 8.9 pounds. So just under 9 pounds. So we had a good time out there fellowshipping with some guys, and had a little tournament and had some fun. So love fishing. And, you know, Jesus did too. Jesus spent a whole lot of time on the Sea of Galilee. And I've had the opportunity to go there, and it reminded me a lot of my upbringing on the water and on the lake. Awesome. And so thanks for bringing that up, Jerry. You got me totally sidetracked. We're not even talking men's ministry right now.
Absolutely. Well, this is part of men's ministry because, you know, you could, I've heard some men say that they really feel spiritual when they're out on the lake fishing, you know, because Jesus said, you know, we were going to be fishers of men. And so some guys like to go practice on the lake, which is, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's a really nice bass, by the way. Really nice bass.
Well, I tell you, Texas is full of great lakes to fish in, and it's really been a cool thing. Got a lot to learn. So I'm used to fishing the smaller lakes, and there's some big lakes in Texas. We all know how big it is in Texas. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So tell me a little bit, Jerry, you and I are obviously working close together with what God is doing through the men's ministry here at our Justin campus. Justin, if you don't know, it's our newest Gateway campus. And we've started without a building, which is unusual for Gateway. It's the first of its kind to start without really having a building. We do have property located right off of 114, just down from the NISD stadium. But in the meantime, we're meeting at the Marriott across from Texas Motor Speedway. We have Sunday morning services at 10 a.m. now, starting up this weekend, which we'll talk a little bit. We'll talk about a little bit more later. But we have a unique opportunity because a lot of our men are very involved. We're not a staff run campus in that we really want to empower a lot of our core team members and volunteers to really do the work of the ministry. And I feel like the men's ministry is really at the tip of the sword and leading that charge of doing the ministry of Gateway Justin. So Jerry, give us a little update on what guys are doing.
Absolutely. Well, I'd love to. I think Justin is such an awesome and unique campus, largely because we don't have a building. And kind of from the very beginning, there's a group called the Strike Team. And from the very beginning, that team, composed of a lot of men who stepped up to lead, they rolled up their sleeves, they got busy, and they are part of the team that sets up everything every week. And, you know, if you attend the services at the Justin campus, you see the finished product when you walked in and all the work that's going on behind the scenes, you really wouldn't have a clue of how much work goes into that. And there are so many fantastic men that are involved in serving in that ministry. So right from the beginning, there was a lot of men that just stepped up to lead and to help with the strike team. So that's one of the ministries that men can participate in is the strike team. It's a great opportunity to lead. And it's also been a great opportunity for men to connect with other men, other families throughout the weekend. So I just wanted to highlight that from the beginning, because I think that really kind of sets Justin apart is the strike team.
Well, you know, and I agree. I would say that I have some of the best relationships that I've built so far at Gateway Justin have come from men that have been a part of that strike team. And I mean, my mind's going through several of them right now. It's just a good group of guys that, you know, some guys, they just love to get up early anyway. And so our strike team is there 6 o'clock in the morning, and it's good physical labor at times. And, you know, putting something together like an entire campus, we build a campus every weekend. And these guys are a significant part of that. And it's just wonderful to see that a lot of guys that haven't even been involved in any kind of ministry at Gateway have always looked for a place to plug in. Yeah. Found a place in that strike team because it really plays to a lot of their strengths. They're great organizers, they're great leaders, and they're hard workers. So they've done a great job.
Absolutely. That's a great group. I got the privilege one Sunday of helping them tear down, and that was just great. It was great to see the camaraderie amongst the guys. I mean, obviously you could tell these guys had worked together for a while. They knew just what to do. They were hard at it. And it was a good bunch. So they're a great ministry. And by the way, I'm going to say this before I get into talking about some more ministries, because I really want to encourage, you know, as we're talking, if anything strikes in your heart, if you're listening to this and you're a part of the Justin campus, or you're feeling God leading you to the Justin campus, or you're just interested in learning more information about the Justin campus, you can text MEN to 71010 at any point, any time. and it will give you information about all the ministries available at Justin, and it will give you things that you can investigate of what's going on. So that's really the contact point right there at any point. And you can do that anytime after our Facebook Live session here. You can text that anytime and it will give you information about the men's ministry at the Justin campus. So that's just good. Want to make sure that that's out there for you.
You know, just a testimony to that, Jerry, is you and I had never met until we started this campus. And though you've been at Gateway for a while, you called, you know, you obviously heard the Spirit of God speak to your heart about how to get involved. And you left the comfort of a campus that was already established. And you came out here to help us pioneer something in the wild, wild west of Justin, Texas. And, you know, and I appreciate that. It's relationships like this that have made this campus very special. The opportunity that we have to develop intimate relationships and see families even come together and get to know one another. It's been a wonderful thing. And to think about it too, you know, we've really only been a campus on ground for about 7 months, and then we had the big shutdown. So
yeah,
we're a young campus. So there's, Jerry, as you're saying, there are so many opportunities and so many ways that people can get plugged in. Not only men, but entire families can get plugged in. I know when I walk down the hallways on Sunday mornings, a lot of what I'm seeing are families, families in ministry together. And wow, and the dads taking the lead, the fathers taking the lead, bringing their families to church, not only to receive and to consume, but also to serve and to give. That's been one of the biggest blessings of being a part of this campus so far. And you, Jerry, I will say you've really modeled that, and I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate that very much, Pastor Sine. And it's been an absolute joy to be a part of the Justin campus. One of the things that makes the Justin campus unique, I think, is something that I got involved in pretty quickly after we started attending, and we started attending right away, was the men's prayer group. There's a men's prayer group every Wednesday morning, and right now we're doing it virtually, so we Zoom in. But this group of guys that have just come together, they have become a band of brothers for me. I mean, it just seems like they're just some really solid, quality men that just want to lead. They want to lead. They want to influence their marriages, their families for the kingdom of God. They want to be a part of a local church where they can serve and lead. And so we got together, we got started to build relationships with one another. And right now there's some of my closest friends right now here because that's just how it works. As we've gotten together to pray together, our hearts kind of got knit together, and they're now just a band of brothers. We have this GroupMe text app where we keep in touch with each other. And, you know, there's usually every day somebody sending an encouraging scripture or a quote or a prayer request across the text. And so everybody hops on and everybody is involved and engaged. So it's been a great group. Good. And those are available as well. And they're happening. And right now, my understanding is most of them are virtual, but I'm sure that they'll be going back to in-person here soon. And that's been a great ministry to be a part of.
Well, I'll tell you, if you're watching this live or you're watching this after the fact, if you would like more information about what Jerry's talking about here, anything we're really talking about, make sure you text the word men to 71010. That's the word M-E-N, men to 71010. And we can get you plugged in to those, or we can just get you some more information about these groups and the other things that we're doing here at the Gateway Justin campus. And maybe you're not a Gateway Justin person. Maybe you go to South Lake, North Fort Worth, or any of our other Gateway campuses. We'd love to plug you into what God's doing through the men's ministry there as well.
Absolutely. And I'd like to bring up something else too. I mean, our heart, I know your heart, Pastor Si, and mine is too, is really for men. We just want to be there to support and encourage men in this journey called life. And something I know maybe you would agree with this, but something that's not always easy to find is just a really good Christian friend that you know you can link arms with, and they'll be with you as a friend, as a brother in the Lord, praying for you, encouraging you, you know, providing a non-judgmental relationship. just having that kind of a relationship with a brother in the Lord is just absolutely paramount, which kind of leads me to the next thing I just wanted to mention is table talks. That's something that we do for men. We offer table talks, and to keep it simple, we're kind of doing a table talk now to some degree. You know, we're just talking about ministry and life and what's available for men. But I just want the men of the Justin campus to know, hey, we are here for you on an individual basis to do table talks. We want to reach out. We want to get to know you. We want you to feel at home and plugged in. And then we want to empower you. We want to empower you in what God's put in your heart, how you can serve, how you can lead. And that's usually done mainly through a table talk. And the whole purpose of a table talk is really to get to know you. It's not to assign you at a position or assign you a role. It's really to get to know you, get to know your heart, and really develop that relationship. And then, you know, as you're talking and getting to know each other, you kind of can get a sense as to where someone's gifts are and how we can encourage them and hopefully be able to just encourage you to lead. And that's the other part of table talks, is we really just want to encourage men just to step up and lead, call you out to be involved in leading your marriages, your homes, of course, and then also at the campus. We'd love to have you leading in whatever the Lord puts on your heart. So table talks are critical for that.
That's so good.
We have those available. And the same thing with the table talks, you know, you can text men to 71010, or I can give you an email address here in a little while that you can email as well, just to be involved in that. But that is critical to our campus, and it's something we really, really enjoy doing, is the table talks.
That's good. It's good, Jerry. Good stuff. You know, and I think in this season that we've all been through with quarantine, with being separate, you know, I think God has used the season, obviously, for us to dig deeper. And I believe we're coming into a season we're going to be able to do more of these face-to-face and connect with guys, and hopefully, just like you said, build relationships, because I believe that's God works mightily through relationships. I think discipleship in and of itself is relationship. You can't disciple someone, you can't be discipled unless you have a relationship with that person. So table talks are a great way to just start that process, but also give, like you said earlier, just give men an opportunity to talk and to share. We have struggles. We have unique challenges that we face as men, as leaders in our family, as leaders in our marketplace ministry. Many of us that are working in the workforce and marketplace ministry, a lot of challenges out there. And wow, is the enemy turned that up a notch, you know? And absolutely, fighting against the nuclear family, fighting against what we stand on in the Word of God. The enemy is in full frontal assault right now. And and that standard that we can raise the Word of God, it happens at the table. And that's when we can really help equip and encourage one another, as you say, Jerry. Thank you. That's good stuff. So, guys, if you aren't a part of a table talk with someone, and you'd like, hey man, I could really use that, you can just text the word men to 71010. And by the way, that rhymes, men to 71010. And, you know, that's the catchiest thing I've ever heard. That's good. So
absolutely. Well, and of course, you know, the table talks, that's actually a lot of that. I was able to get involved in a lot of table talks just from our men's prayer group on Wednesday morning.
That's,
you know, we would spend time praying, and then all of a sudden we started reaching out to each other and said, hey, let's do lunch. Let's do a cup of coffee. And that's huge, because when you can build those relationships over a cup of coffee, I mean, it just really starts knitting your heart together. So that's great. But that kind of leads me to another thing that we have available, is which is groups. I know you want to talk a little bit more about groups, Pastor Sion, a little bit later, but I just want to mention them. We do have groups for men. They're available, and kind of just flow in with everything we're saying here as far as just building relationship. And, you know, there's guys that have on their heart to lead and to be a leader. And if that is something that you feel is stirring in your heart, then absolutely, we want you to reach out to us, and we can start building that relationship and finding out how we can help you lead, because groups are available. And that's a big part of the campus as well. I'll let Pastor Sion say kind of the rest about that. Another thing we're also very excited about in men's ministry is, and here's the philosophy that I love about men's ministry at Gateway is, if you have men leading in any ministry, that's men's ministry. I mean, whether a man is ushering, whether a man is, you know, greeting you as you come in the door, whether a man is part of the strike team setting up, whether a man's on the worship team helping worship, he is in men's ministry because he's in ministry and he's leading and he's a man. And I love that, because sometimes I think we get the blinders on and we try to define things. And boy, I just love how that broadens it out. If you're leading and you're in any form of ministry, that's men's ministry at the Justin campus. So I love that. I love that, which obviously I get excited about, because this weekend we're going to be back together live in person at the Justin campus. And I know my family's excited about it. We can't wait. And I can only imagine there's so many other men and families and kids that are excited to be back worshiping live. So we're excited about that. Tell us a little bit about that, would you, Pastor Simon?
Well, I'll tell you, as you said, Jerry, yes, we are excited about it. But I mean, to be able to get back in the same room together, hearing the worship, participating in the worship, mm-hmm. listening to the word together, but most of all, congregating once again as the body of Christ in one building. There's something spiritually significant about that. And as everyone listening to this broadcast knows, the enemy has been fighting against that for a long time. And can you imagine the church shutting down for as long as it has? And I'd say the church, I mean, the buildings have shut down. We know the church has been growing. And I believe this weekend we're going to see some of the fruit of that as people come and celebrate and really worship the Lord and hear a great word from Pastor Jimmy this coming weekend. I want to make sure we honor our time here. Yes. I really had a specific word. I can't wait to get this to you guys, and I wanted to share it with you because I feel it really corresponds with a lot of what you've shared today, Jerry, and that's that calling of men into ministry, whatever ministry that might be, and that's using the gifts and the talents that God has given you to help further the kingdom of God and really make disciples. And so I call those kind of men warriors. You know, that's kind of a language that speaks to me. You know, Jerry, you mentioned several minutes ago that this prayer team that you guys get together, you see them like as a band of brothers, and which is one of my favorite miniseries ever. I'm an evangelist for the Band of Brothers miniseries because I think it highlights an aspect of the warrior that God has put on the inside of all of us, that we can go through hard times together, but we need to surround ourselves with other people who have the same vision and who have the same purpose and who serve the same God. Maybe I'd liken you as the Dick Winters of the Band of Brothers, leading these guys in the battle. So, but these warriors, I got a couple of things I want to share with you. And if you wonder why I'm not looking at the screen, it's because my notes are up on this top screen up here. So I apologize for that. But there's two things that a warrior needs to know. There's two things that I would say that we as men need to know. And that's number one, we got to know who we are. And the second thing is we got to know whose we are. And I never had the privilege of serving in the armed forces, but my father did, my grandfather did, my father-in-law, on my wife's side, her grandfather was actually a part of the 101st Airborne, which the Band of Brothers and Easy Company was also a part of that company. He was a part of the 101st, but not of Easy Company. He was in Fox Company in the medic unit during World War II. So to hear their stories and to hear not just the war stories, but also just the camaraderie that they felt and that they had throughout all of their missions, as well as the life from boot camp all the way to battle. It really resembles a lot of what God does with us as men. And I think the first thing we got to realize is that when we get in God's boot camp, so to say. What God's doing is he's really stripping ourselves of our self-identity. And those guys jump in a foxhole. It's not, they're not white guys, black guys, Hispanics, you know, they're, you know, guys from New Jersey and Tennessee. It didn't matter, because somewhere along the line, they lost their identity as an individual, and their identity became one. And that one was, for us, it's being a child of God. It's being a son of God. And when we get saved, we take our identity and we place it down, and we pick up the identity that God gives us. We got to know who we are. We got to know whose we are. So I want to read two verses of scripture. I'm not going to read all of it because we don't have enough time. But when you think of warfare and when you think of being a warrior, I know these verses come to mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, it says, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war, and we don't wage war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. So in other words, we have a spiritual enemy. Therefore, God's given us spiritual weapons. And I don't want you to forget that. It's in your family, in your workplace, men, you're in a spiritual battle, and you need to realize that you're in a spiritual battle, and God has given you spiritual weapons. And we don't have time to talk about those weapons. And I actually want to emphasize today, not the weapon, but the warrior, because a weapon is no good without a warrior.
Yeah.
And I want you to get that. A weapon, that word of God sitting on your bedside table, that big family Bible sitting on your coffee table, is a weapon. But without a warrior, it's not any good. We've got to take that word, and we have to use it. The word needs a warrior. And the prayers are not prayers unless there's a warrior. And so spiritual weapons are no good unless we've got some spiritual warriors. And so today I just want to talk about the warrior real quick. There's just two things about the warrior. You got to know who they are, and they got to know whose they are. The warrior, the way he gets to know who he is he's got to go through that boot camp with God. And I think we all go through that. It's the hard times. It's the rough times. It's the training. It's the showing up to the equip classes. It's going through, it's doing, it's going through the new believers class. It's reading the books. It's listening to Pastor Robert and Pastor Jimmy's messages. It's getting to be a part of a small group so that we can go and break bread and hear the word and encourage one another. That's all a part of the boot camp that God uses to help build us as warriors so that we can go out and do things like the brigade, our men's brigade does. And they go out and they help in building and constructing and helping the elderly and fixing up homes and things like that. Well, that boot camp's got to come first. So I love, wrong computer. Let me get on this one up here. What does this boot camp does? It's very simple. What do these things do? They give us God's true identity, who God says that we are. And I want to highlight two of the greatest warriors in the Bible. Greatest warrior in the Old Testament. I've taken some theology classes, and every Jew would say this. Every real Jew would say the greatest hero in the Old Testament was Moses. Says this in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. It says, now Moses was more humble than any person on the face of the earth, which is, as you guys know, when I teach on humility, that's one of the craziest, most arrogant, ludicrous statements in the entire Bible, because it was written by Moses himself. And so Moses basically is saying, now Moses, me, was the most humble man on the earth. And I thought to myself, as I read this the very first time, the Holy Spirit highlighted it and said, in that verse is the definition of humility. And I thought, how is that?
Wow.
And of course, God said, well, who wrote it? And I said, you know, Moses wrote it. Moses wrote this about himself. In other words, the most humble man on earth was able to say, I am the most humble man on earth. And the reason why was because he was. He was the most humble. Humility, this definition, which is in that verse, is simply this. It's knowing who you really are.
Yeah.
True humility is when you grasp the reality of who you really, really are. Charles Spurgeon said it this way. Humility is when you make the right estimate of yourself. So true humility is not when you believe what other people say about you. It's not what you feel about yourself. True humility is when you grasp the actual reality of who you really, really are. Doesn't mean how good That's you awesome. Are. Not when you grasp the reality of how wonderful you are. It's when you grasp the reality of who you really are. And Moses spent 40 years on the backside of a desert, okay, tending his father's sheep. That was a 40 years of boot camp where that Moses, that prince of Egypt, that ruler, that guy that was going to take and lead the nation of Israel out by the might of his own right hand, realized that he didn't know who he really was. His identity was wrapped up in his calling, and his identity was not wrapped up in who God called him to be. So those two things being different, what he needed was 40 years tending some sheep. And so I hope that encourages somebody out there. You may feel like you're forgotten, abandoned by God, and you're sitting on the backside of some desert wondering why God's not answering your prayers. Well, maybe you're in boot camp. Maybe God's building a warrior. And I believe that's what our desert seasons do. They build warriors. And humility is to make that right estimation of yourself. So I'm going to keep flying here, because the second thing about a warrior, by the way, let me mention the second one, is Jesus. Obviously, Jesus was the most humble person to ever walk on the face of the earth. He made some pretty ludicrous statements and crazy statements that blew the minds of people who listened to him. And one of them was in Matthew 11:29. We kind of read over it. We don't think much of it. But listen to Jesus's words. He said, "Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you because I'm humble." Yeah. I'm like, can you imagine if you went to class and sat down and the teacher said, "Okay, class today, I want you to listen to me. I'm going to teach you because I am humble." We would think that was an arrogant person. But you know what? Jesus said it out of pure confidence. Confidence and arrogance are two different things. Confidence is based in facts, whereas arrogance is based on pride and a propped up image of who you want to be. So Jesus wasn't being arrogant. He was being confident. And he said this: "Listen to me, learn from me, because I'm humble and gentle at heart." So Jesus not only knew who he was, but here's the second thing about what warriors need, is they got to know whose they are. And if I can tell you that this is as hard as the first one, because once we realize who we are, we begin to realize more and more of whose we are. John 14, I wish I could read the whole chapter to you, because in this chapter, Jesus explains to his disciples, and in his prayer to the Lord through this, whose he was. He knew he was his father's. His father, when I say whose you are, you got to know who your daddy is. Good warriors know who their daddy is. They know who they are, and they know whose they are. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 says, "And you are the children of God through faith in Jesus Christ." And I love it because it keeps on going. In chapter 4, it says, "But when the right time, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law, God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God sent his spirit, his son, into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father." Verse 7. "Now you know you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you an heir." So men, I just want to encourage you today that you get to know who you are in Christ, and then get to know whose you are. You're a child of God. And those are the two strengths of a warrior. And I go back to my first example when I talked to my grandfather about what it was like to be in Fox Company and 101st Airborne, and it's very simple. He said, "We knew who we were, and we knew whose we were. We were the United States government stepping on the soil of France and Belgium and Germany. That's who we were. We were representing the United States of America, and we knew who we were, and we knew we were Fox Company, and we knew exactly there was a unity that comes with that." And I believe that that's what God is doing in this time with us as men of God, as God is raising up true warriors that know who they are and whose they are. So I'd like to close us in prayer if I could.
Please. That'd be awesome.
I know I've talked, I got on the preach there for a second, but I really hope you guys feel encouraged by this today. So Father, I thank you for the men that are watching this today. And Lord, I just pray, and as you prayed, Lord, and as your word prays for us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, that Lord, we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we can know who you are. God, we know that if we get to know the maker, we get to know and understand more of his creation. And Lord, we are that creation. Mm-hmm. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God, you've raised us up to be warriors for our wives and our families and our children. Lord, in the marketplace and in the church, God, you called us, Lord, to wield spiritual weapons, prayer, praise, and the word of God. God, you called us to use these spiritual weapons. And Father, we recognize we're in a spiritual war right now.
Yes.
So Father, raise us up. God, help us to get to know who we really are and whose we really are. And I thank you for that spirit of wisdom and revelation on everyone listening to this today. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate it and subscribe to stay up to date with new episodes. And if you want to stay connected with everything we're doing as a ministry, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or visit menssummit.com. If you'd like to get connected to a men's prayer group, men's group, or build team at your campus, email men@gatewaypeople.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.